Thank you again, everybody who's on the line. This is your host, Vance Rogers, live back actually in the U.S. of A. from Ethiopia and Holland. And I want to wish you a wonderful, beautiful October Saturday, last Saturday of the month. So it should be a busy weekend for all of us as we tie a bow on things and what's going on. I will have a couple announcements on that note regarding the last Saturday of the month, the end of the month, and then also some information about what's coming up 2 weeks from this weekend. So hang tight at the end of the call after we finish with our guest and get underway. Then in about 30 minutes, we will run through some quick announcements, and I'll also open it up for Q&A, too, if you guys should so see the need. So on that note, again, welcome everybody to Saturday AM Live. This is Roger. With me, I have a number of member of the V category, Vince Tesh. It's not often that you have Vance and Vince on the line on a Saturday morning. Actually, some of the people we were with in Ethiopia 2 weeks ago, or I should say a week ago, they came back to the guest house we were staying, and I said, hey, we met a guy named Vance. And I said, really? Besides me? And I said, yeah. And he's from Portland, Oregon. I said, now, what are the chances of that? Both of us, you know, from the same area, being in Ethiopia at the same time. So, but it's not Vance and Vance. It's Vance and Vince. And Vince has a limited amount of time this morning, so we're going to just jump right on in. So, Vince, everybody knows that you're a physical therapist, and that you're going into your 25th year in that line of work, and that also you've got this just bubbling, overwhelming personality, at least I think so, and I know the people around you where you're at would agree. So, first of all, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you.
And take us back, why in the world did you go into the world of physical therapy?
Oh, it's a little crazy, but I'll be brief. I actually wanted to be a preacher, went to a college to get that degree, did not like the program, decided to become a special education teacher, and that's where I got my psychology slant in what I do. Taught school as a special ed teacher for a couple years, couldn't afford it. Was actually previous to that where I met Cheryl, my wife, and was working in physical therapy in the military, but was a tech, was an unlicensed person, and you can do that a lot in the military. Never really thought I was professional enough to do that, but someone kept telling me I should, so I went to night school and summer school after I had become a school teacher and became a physical therapist. So I've got 2 years. I've already cashed my teacher retirement check, so I can tell people I'm a retired school teacher. yeah. So that's how I ended up in physical therapy, and so that's where my Bible stuff keeps going in there, because I've obviously graduated from that particular school with a lot of Bible stuff, but And I have a lot of fun, as you probably have recalled from our previous conversations, throwing little bits, like this little tidbit from the Old Testament, Proverbs 17:22. You'll hear it differently because I'm different when I'm talking. In King James it says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a weary heart is like rottenness to the bones. The words that are italicized in the King James actually aren't there. So you can say a merry heart doth a good medicine, is not like a good medicine. And that particular word in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but that particular word comes from the word that means cure. So you could almost say a merry heart doth a good cure. And we may talk more about that later, but I do think there's attitude in people getting better.
Well, there is, Vince, and that's the beauty of what we as wellness consultants do, and I think it's kind of funny and interesting that both you and I started out with that intent to become a minister, and for those who know me know that I, you know, into Bible school, I realized, you know, I don't think going to a place of business, call it a church, call it whatever you want, working within the four walls of a building is really what I'm caught up to do. And it sounds like you definitely switch gears there, and as a physical therapist, what little bit I know about the industry, you're definitely out working hands-on with people and using your schooling, to wash feet in a different sort of way, if I could use that. Because you're, as a physical therapist, you're, as you mentioned before we got on the call this morning to me, that you, as soon as we're done, you've got an appointment to work on somebody's arm. So you are hands-on with people all the time.
yes, hands-on, brain-on, just... and, of course, I want to add this brief disclaimer. The focus today is on patients and on physiology. We're not trying to diagnose, treat, or cure illness, but we're trying to promote wellness, obviously. And if you look at most of the literature from the FDA, they also state, for whatever it's worth, that they're mainly focusing on, what do you call those things, symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So if... you know, they see these lot of things and say, race for the cure. And I'm thinking, well, in some cases, I think they're just focusing on symptoms. But, hey, we'll let them do their thing, and we'll do our thing here.
What do you find is one of your greatest challenges as a physical therapist and as a knee and wellness consultant? And I want to get into, or even prior to being a wellness consultant, prior to being introduced to knee and what did you find was your greatest challenges as a physical therapist based on what you just said, that our culture here in the West, we seem to be focusing in on, you know, curing things and fixing them after they're broken versus the rest of the world, not all the rest of the world, but a good portion of the rest of the world focuses on the prevention. You know, the Japanese culture and a lot of the Asian cultures, they pay a doctor in advance a set fee to keep them well rather than paying him to treat or paying her to treat them, you know, myself, after something's broken. And as a medical professional, you actually do a good job when nobody ever really has to come to your office. The wellness mindset. So again, back to my question, as somebody in that industry, what did you see as one of your greatest challenges, if I could ask that question, of people who, in this culture, had that mentality?
Well, I'm going to do it by being me, so I apologize for this. I'm basically solution-oriented, and most people are problem-oriented. I've came up with a phrase, I know you've heard this before, but you haven't heard the second part. You've heard a picture's worth a thousand words, and that's primary for men. To me, this is my phrase, a word is worth a thousand pictures, and that's primary for females. You've often heard it said, action speaks louder than words. But I ask the question, what speaks louder than actions? And since you'd be as baffled as the rest of the audience going, where is he going with this? What actually speaks louder than actions are misperceptions. You've heard people say, I'll be happy when, right? And the body perceives that you're not happy now. So I suggest people say, I'll be happier when. So one of my biggest concerns are people's preconceived misperceptions of discomfort. I know we're not allowed to use the word pain, so I'm going to use the word discomfort. And I'll throw a few quick things out there, a few discomfort illustrations. Number one, when you have discomfort, it's a warning. That's people don't get that. They say, I don't want to hurt. I go, well, fine. If you're hurting, there's a reason for it, so let's find out what that reason is first, and then let's proceed. And number two, pain or discomfort is relieved by the body first. You probably met individuals who told you when they had a whiplash, when they were in a car wreck, they didn't hurt for the first two or three days.
Mm-hmm.
The body takes care of that. It has endorphins and enkephalins, and it takes care of all of those things. When someone goes into shock after a major problem, their body takes care of those things. And number three, you can have discomfort in more than one area at a time. And if you're thinking about the illustration of a car having more than one squeak, you know, let's say it has five squeaks, well, you're generally only going to hear the loudest squeak first, and when you take care of that loudest squeak, then you're going to hear it someplace else, which soon becomes the second loudest squeak. And when you take care of the loudest, I actually have people say, you know, I had my feet were hurting, and now you've made my back hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't give them this illustration first, I'm in trouble, because they're now telling me I've moved their pain, which I haven't. I basically just took care of it where it was, and now they're noticing it someplace else.
Sure.
And
sure.
So if you've got someone who's got some discomfort in their back, which they're having numbness and tingling in their legs, and you take care of the numbness and tingling in their legs, then the discomfort moves up to a very localized area in their back. They actually feel worse, but they're actually getting better. And as you probably experience when you're dealing with our technologies, and you make someone feel better for a day, and it comes back the next day, they all of a sudden think you're a quack. And you're thinking, hey, what did you do when you were feeling better? And I ask them that. I say, if you're feeling better today, but you were feeling worse yesterday, what did you do when you got home?
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's the culprit, all of those activities that they did brought everything back again.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Now, Vince, for you, again, how long have you been in Nikan? Let me ask you that quick question.
Almost 4 years.
Okay. So you had basically 20 years as a physical therapist, and you'd seen a lot, I'm sure, I would think.
Yeah.
In that industry, you've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different different homeopathic remedies for different things. So Nikan comes along for you, and what was going through your mind?
I thought, this is ridiculous. I said, if anything was this good, I'd already know about it.
Because of course.
I considered myself extremely open-minded. And I've actually had people where I got them to not hurt with our technologies. But like I told you before, I've never seen anything work this good this fast. And that's why initially I would have periods of elation and periods of depression in my dealings with people with Nikan, because they would feel better and then they get worse. And I'm thinking, okay. And then I thought, I got to do the same thing with my Nikan folks as I've had to do with my therapy folks, because they didn't understand that discomfort always returns when you don't change your activity, when you don't limit the activity. In other words, you're overactive, when you don't eat enough, and when you don't rest enough. I've had people that will wake up in the middle of the night, and they say, well, I keep waking up at 2 o'clock at night. And I go, well, you need to eat something. And I go, no, I don't eat. I go, yeah. You know, if you're not eating enough, your body has nothing to repair with. It doesn't do that. And since half the calories that you eat, about half the calories you eat, just go to regulate your body temperature. That's why when you go over someone's house and their house is like a furnace in there, and you think, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't handle it in here. What do you got it so hot for? Well, they're letting the house keep them warm instead of the food that could supply the heat. And if they're only eating enough to survive and not eating enough to thrive, then how are they going to get better? And if they're not eating and we put these amazing technologies on them, then we don't have anything to move wherever we've got it to move. So if they're not drinking water, and obviously our water's the best, if they're not drinking any water, then we don't have any way to get it there. And if they're not eating any food, then we have nothing to send. But if we have our technologies, we can get it there better, faster, and away from the area better, faster. And it's like, wow.
You know, I would have never even thought of that, because, again, in our culture, being in the West, we're dealing with 65% or better of our population is overweight. And who would have ever thought that we actually need the fuel in the bodies to get the better results from our body's ability to heal itself, and from, you know, the Nikan technologies? Because we always preach, as you just said, you know, water, water, water. Just like if you go to a chiropractic appointment and you get a massage, they tell you immediately afterwards, make sure you hydrate to get the toxins out of your body. And it's the same way. Vince, you had said that, you know, when you were first introduced to Nikan, that you commonly what's what is said by people in anything to do with the medical profession. If there was anything to this, I would have known about it. I mean, I remember my mom for years as a nutritionist said the same thing. If there was anything to this, any merit to it, surely I would have heard about it. What changed your mind?
Well, I was listening to a CD, which your mom referred to last week. Not that she's got the newer version of it, but I had the old version of it. And they had like 19 testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who gave it to me, it was at our son's wedding. So everybody there was religious, period. There was just nobody there wasn't. And we were all of the same persuasion and all extremely strict in what we believe. So when this guy gives me this CD, and I knew if it was any good, I didn't want to listen to it that day. So I actually waited 3 days. And I said, okay. And when I actually started listening to it, I listened to it over and over and over again, and I said, no way. No way. Because one of the stories was, it's also a new one. There was a guy that was 75 feet up, fell after exploding, and was burned from his head to his toe, and 2.5 weeks walked out of the hospital with a very little indication of burn, a little on his fingers, a little on his lips. And I thought, no way! And I thought, if this is real. So one of the very first patients I had was a total knee patient, and got on the phone with my then upline, because I just called her up, and she started trying to convince me, and I said, hey, I'm in. You know, you don't have to show me anything. I've never seen any technologies work. All I heard were these stories. So when I called her back that following Monday, you know, I just signed me up. I'm ready. But I still had never seen anything. So when I'm talking to this patient and telling her about these stories that I've heard, she goes, well, how can I get this stuff? And I said, well, let's call up my upline. And like an idiot, I didn't put us on speaker. So she sat there and talked, and I continued doing my therapy and couldn't hear a thing they were saying. But she bought a knee wrap and 3 super minis, and the day she got them, she ended up taking one more pain pill, and she had been taking them every 4 to 6 hours for years. That was the last pain pill she took. And she was freaking out, and a girlfriend of hers, who also was her case manager, when she saw her walking around, said, what are you doing, Kathy? She goes, what do you mean? She says, ever since I've known you, you've either been in a wheelchair or you've been a walker, and you're up walking around. You know, so this girl was up, total knee, no problems, not hurting, you know, and it was just going crazy. But obviously, I didn't know much about the business side, and focused primarily on the product side. I was just having a blast, but clearly there were times when it just wasn't working, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand why some people were getting better. Some weren't, and obviously I think I've figured that out, but that's why I share that with such passion now. I say, hey, if you've got small blood vessels from smoking, but you're not a water drinker, I'll try this, but it's probably not going to do much for you. I've just seen it happen. I've had individuals who, if they weren't stretching properly, because if I can get you stretching, I can usually get your discomfort down to a zero. But if you don't stretch the right muscles, then you're probably not going to get down to a zero because of your tightness. That's just part of it.
Now, what would you encourage us to do as wellness consultants? Now, obviously, we can't go back and get a degree in physical therapy, or, I mean, maybe we could if we wanted to really pursue that. But what are some of the simple things that you've discovered that utilizing Nikin's technologies, and, you know, most of us know how to do a simple kinesiology or muscle resistance test, energy test, or, you know, we call it a variety of different things. But what are some of the best ways that you've discovered to really present the wow factor of what Nikin has? I mean, we've got new jewelry coming out in a couple weeks, which is the way, from what I understand, the way the technology is built into this is so much superior than what we've ever had before. So again, my question is, what are some of the ways that you've developed or that you've seen in your own just day-to-day when you introduce somebody to Nikin that really gets them? Because for you, it was the information on a CD. That's what opened your eyes and, you know, your mind to it. But some people, they need to see that wow factor. Do you share with them a story like you just did about a gal who was, you know, no longer taking pain pills after years, or do you do a quick test with them? What do you do?
Well, I do like I've learned from one of the books, the listening thing, where I try to ask questions and listen and try to see if the person's even open to anything else. But when I find out if they're actually hurting, not a smoker, they drink water, and then I ask them if they're open-minded. But I usually give them a few stories ahead of time, because if I don't do these stories ahead of time, then I'm just dead in the water afterwards. And I mentioned briefly, I have a story that I developed when I turned 40, and this is the way I've actually helped a lot of people quit hurting without our technologies. But like I said, nothing works this well this fast. And it's my $100,000 in the bank illustration. So everybody who's out there is sitting somewhere or standing somewhere where they can actually look and see something in front of them. And if they're driving, they can look off and see the horizon. If they're in a room, they can look at the bottom of a window or the bottom of a television set, and they can see that is going to be your zero line. And if they'll look at the top of their driving view, they'll see the top of the window, the windshield, top of the window, the top of the room, and that's going to be your $100,000 mark. And all of us can picture back when we were considered indestructible, and I'm guessing for you, that was a few years ago, not as many as it was for me, but everyone's been 12 once, right? And so when you're 12 years old, if you've got $100,000 in the bank and someone dares to tell you to slow down, you think they're crazy. You can do pretty much whatever you want to do it. And it's kind of like you spent $10,000, which is a large amount of money to spend, but hey, you still got $90,000 in the bank. Who are they to tell you what you can do? You know, you can do pretty much whatever you want to do. And you've created this habit now of doing what you want to do and resting. And obviously, as you can see, at some point, you are going to get down to zero. Is that not correct, Vance?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so here we go. You got $10 in the bank. You're about to cross zero. You're either 20, 30, 40, 50. I've had people in their 90s who had no problem at all. And I've had people in their teens who never had a problem, basically, obviously, spending a lot faster. And we're just speaking about specific body areas, not the whole body, just one area breaking down. You spend that $10,000 when you've got $10 in the bank or $100 in the bank or $1,000 in the bank, you're hurting. And you're going to say this. You're going to say, what is going on? I didn't do anything unusual. I've done the same thing for years. What's the problem? Well, you didn't spend from your abundance. You spent from your lack, and now you're hurting. But here's the fun part. Obviously, everybody tells you what to do, and eventually you reach that fateful day when you finally get back up to zero. You get tremendously excited because you've paid off the debt. But never realizing that at zero, you don't have any savings. All you've done, and great, you've done it, you've just reached it back to zero. So you're all excited thinking you can just go bananas, do whatever you want to do. Some people might not understand what go bananas means, but you can do whatever you want to do. Yeah. And then, boom, you're hurting again. And you're thinking, what is going on? I mean, you literally think you're going crazy, but all you've done is dipped down into debt, maybe $100, maybe $1,000, who knows how much, and then you climb back up to zero, and that's when you really think you're going crazy, because literally for years you can go a little above and a little below, a little above and a little below. And I've had women who've said this, very few men, but most women will say this. They'll say, I don't know when I'm going to start hurting again. I'm not hurting right now. So I'm going to do everything I got to do because I don't know when it's going to come back. I don't know how bad it's going to be. And that's their problem. So the technologies can get you back to zero. They can get you beyond zero. If you're $200,000 in the bank and I give you $100,000 because of our technologies, you're better off, but you can't tell yet. So for some people, depending upon how majorly they've destroyed their bodies, when they get back to zero, keep doing what you're doing until you've got some savings, you've got something to spend, and then if you've got $50,000 in the bank or $10,000 in the bank or $20,000, then spend down, but make sure you keep putting back in. That's why I tell all my patients to eat something every 2 hours, Whether you think you're hungry or not, you're eating to thrive, not just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put the technologies on before you're having discomfort. You don't have to wait until you're having discomfort.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is the big wow. You need three things, basically, for your body or for your spirit. You need energy or food. You need rest for repair. You need activity for life. Those are one quick other thing I just
say that again real quick, Vance.
Okay. for your body and for your spirit,
energy or food.
Same. Right, because our technologies provide energy.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, and of course we do have some nutritionals which are amazing. You need rest for repair. I've had people say to me, they go, Vince, I don't like doing nothing. I go, when you're sitting there, you're not doing nothing. You're giving your body a chance to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And you need activity for life, you know. But any one of those is out of a balance. You can either get too much or too little food. You can get too much rest, believe it or not. And you can get too much or too little activity. And let me throw out rest for a minute here. Ready? I can talk really fast, can you tell? Okay. Let's say you wake up on a Saturday morning, you've had 6 to 8 hours of sleep, you're having a really, really bad morning, you're thinking, you know, I haven't even got out of bed yet, and I'm already feeling tired. I got a really busy day planned, so I'm going to lay here another couple hours, thinking you're going to feel better. You actually feel worse than you did 2 hours earlier. The reason you feel worse is you didn't need more laying around. You needed some nutrients in your body so that you have the energy to do what you have to do. Most people, when they think tired, they think rest. I think tired, I think energy. We need some kind of energy because we're tired. And our technologies can either borrow food from you to keep you going, but without actually consuming more food, it's actually going to deplete your body.
Mm.
So you're better off putting food in to let our technologies take care of what they do, rather than just letting them borrow food from you and depleting your bones and your muscles of the energy it needs to function.
Vince, you said something a couple weeks ago that came up on a call. I can't remember what the premise
was. Oh, okay. It was the 5-minute activity.
Exactly, the 5-minute activity. Share that with the group again, because that was so just so timely when we don't take the time, and you're nailing it on these issues of eating to thrive, rest for repair, and activity for life. But so often, again, in our Western culture, we don't take that time to rest. And when you travel, like I have in the last couple of weeks, to places like Europe, the statistics are just alarming, the amount of vacation days that Europeans, just looking at that culture, take compared to the vacation days that we don't take. On just an ordinary job, but 5 minutes, you said, go ahead and share that again.
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. Believe it or not, if you'll eat something every 2 hours around the clock, you basically don't have to sleep. I've actually demonstrated that in my own body, and since I believe the body was created, but that's my thing, and not evolved, then I believe all our bodies work just as well if we've got it functioning well.
Now, you're not endorsing that type of lifestyle, I would hope. I mean, eating every couple hours and not having to sleep, right?
Well, yes and no. If you have to, then go ahead and eat frequently and your body can get to it. Because even though sleep is important, food is actually more important than sleep.
Hmm.
I'm putting those in a priority reference, and I don't know when a person needs to go into that, but some of us have different types of lifestyles, and if you want to stay alive, you definitely have to sleep, but you also got to eat. And
mm-hmm.
If you put those two against each other, you got to figure out where you are. So I've come up with a new analogy. It's called the funnel, okay? So if you think about it, a funnel... For some people, they end up spilling things whether they use the funnel or not, right? Because they've missed the purpose of the funnel. The funnel just allows you to pour into a smaller hole. And some of us, because we've either been smoking or having a lot of caffeine, have narrower blood vessels, so we actually can't introduce the technologies as fast. We've got to pour something in and wait, pour something in. And obviously, if our blood vessels are of normal size, we can do whatever we want to. But getting back to your five-minute activity, since most of us work and do activity like we're driving a car, right, I know, Vance, that you would not take your car, and 100% of the time, wait until your car was completely empty before putting fuel in it.
But I have done that before. That's my
daughter. Well, that's why I said you've got to get it 100% of the time. Right?
We've all done it a time or two, usually.
Right. So here's with that thought in mind, if you don't want to keep running out of gas, then you got to fuel up more frequently. And activity, if you push yourself to the exhaustion point, and that's what most of us do, we wait until we're tired to stop. We wait until our body says, and some of us obviously go way beyond that. We say, I know I need to sit down, but if I sit down, I won't be able to get up, and no one else is going to get this done. So they actually go on and on, and I'm speaking more about women. Not only about women, more about women in that regard. Mm-hmm. And so I say to people, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've got. And so if you don't change your activity in a way to do that, I took the long way around to answer your five-minute activity. So if you just do 5 minutes of activity or set a timer for 5 minutes, because you really need the timer because most of us aren't going to notice it. So you go to a store, spend $5, buy a timer, set it for 5 minutes, and 5 minutes of activity, and then rest. I don't concern myself with how long you stop, Vance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me, but that you just stop the activity and get up and go and stop and get up and go, because you're trying to create a new habit so that your life gets extended rather than constantly depleted.
Mm.
So this is a new habit for life. Mm. But it's just a suggestion. It's not a command. Vince isn't going to chase you down, because if I get upset because someone doesn't follow one of my suggestions, Vance,
mm-hmm,
then I get stressed.
Sure.
And you can't actually care too much. You mentioned earlier about people that are overweight. If they're wide between their shoulders and their hips, there is physiology to support the fact that they think too much about a plan that they've already made. They've made a plan. They review the plan. They go over the plan. And their body is setting in motion fuel, sending it to those areas to fight a battle that doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually layer fat on your body, get overweight by just thinking too much about your plans. They call that worry, but most people say, well, I don't worry. And I go, well, your body's telling me differently.
Well, yeah. we found that out several months ago when Stacey Grieve, who's the author of the book, and I'm looking through my notes real quick, but it's
I remember that.
Yeah, it's not what we're putting in our mouth that's making us fast. It's the mental, and we know this. Everybody who's ever struggled, myself included, with the weight issue, it's not the food. I mean, that's part of it, but it's the mental. We've got to overcome that first. Vince, I've got one last question for the sake of time, because you nailed so many different things here, and my pen it's not smoking. Because you keep asking me if I'm smoking. But I like you. I want to go back to a couple things here, but real quick. But you said, are you a smoker? And then this last time you mentioned that you said, or you drink a lot of coffee, a lot of caffeine, which could come in, with via Mountain Dews, Pepsis, or coffee or espresso, or being the frequent flyer at Starbucks or whatever. Which I think is interesting, because you're saying it basically reduces the size of the veins. Therefore, does not allow the blood to circulate properly. I'm guessing that's where you're going with that.
Correct. And also, the intake of caffeine does exactly the same thing that nicotine does, and it borrows food from your body. So it's actually taking calcium from your bones, protein from your muscles, bits and pieces of your other body parts to feed you with you. So you're not actually consuming food, and that's why you get that quick energy surge. And if anybody who's ever drank coffee all day and sipped a sip and nothing happened and thought the coffee was flat, no, it's just you didn't have enough adrenaline to keep up with what was going on. That's all.
Oh, my goodness. This is and then I want to go back to one of the things you said. You started out, and I only got to the beginning of it. You were talking about, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then...
Okay, to a man, and to me, most of what I come up with is like male-female things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only for men, but I'll say primarily for men. But that was created in a male-dominated society. A picture is worth a thousand words, because we generally don't see things in our brain. Don't generally. But to a woman, a word is worth a thousand pictures. So you can actually talk to a woman, and she can actually see what you're talking about. And that's generally why you don't talk about roadkill at the dinner table, because she can see it, and most guys can't. You know, she's going, quit talking about that stuff. And it's like, okay. So, yeah. I have a lot of fun with that, and there's a lot of other things that I...
Which again, that answers my question. We can finish on this note again for the
sure.
time, because you've got to get on to an appointment, and we've all got to get into our weekend. But it's so crucial when talking to people and introducing them to Nikan, whether we're a banker, a plumber, a physical therapist like yourself, or we've got a medical degree behind our name, it really is imperative to, number one, identify male or female. So
yeah.
For a male, we're talking about pictures. We're creating this big thing. We're doing an energy test right up. We're hitting on that quadrant. And to a female, it really is imperative to use more words to describe the feelings that will be generated. And I think that's so crucial. And that's why I asked to go back and reiterate that, because we basically, there's no really magic bullet to what you're doing to get people to see what we have to offer with the whole world of Nikan. It really comes down to asking the questions and find out what it is they're looking for, what is their hot button, what is they're really needing at the time.
That is true, and always remembering that there's nothing wrong with our technologies, there's always something wrong with the individual, and if it's not working, it's never the technology's fault. It's just that they're doing it wrong. And just be patient, because this is really exciting that we can help the individuals that we can. And it's rough being patient with someone who just doesn't have an instant reaction, but just try to find that out. And if they don't want to go through the patience, it's their concern, that it shouldn't be something that gets you as depressed as I used to get when someone wasn't willing to get through that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, again, Vince, and I never did ask you, you are, is it Arkansas? Where you?
Yes!
Okay. I thought that's where I was trying to remember, because I'm thinking, okay, a few weeks ago we had Deborah Thompson on the call, and I thought it was Arkansas, but then I just spent some time with people from Alabama, so I wanted to make sure. And Vince Tesh, who has been our guest from Arkansas, and physical therapist, and I'm going to have a new, I'm going to play with the word in my mind, and it'll be a target out there when I hit it, but I'm not going to remember you so much as a physical therapist. It's more of the creator and the orchestrator, like a music conductor, of finding finely chosen words to put into places so that we really, because what you've done for us on this call has really given us kind of a know-how of, okay, maybe my approach needs to be tweaked just a little bit, and I hope that our listeners have gained that. So, Vince, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it greatly. I know our listeners have. And if you've got somebody that you feel would benefit from hearing what Vince has shared, simply go on to www.saturdayamlive.com, and that will pass you right over to Steve Crowfoot's wonderful website where you can see the recordings. Usually those are up in a couple hours after the call. But love to utilize that, and you can also order CDs of it as well. So, Vince, any parting, one little zinger you want to throw out here at the end?
Well, I didn't get to what you said earlier. What I do with folks is I do the muscle energy first, because I've had individuals tell me, they go, you just push and less later. I do the muscle energy first, and I learned from Deborah to say, see what you feel. Do you feel this? Do you feel your stomach working hard, not working hardly at all, in the toes? And then I do take the bracelet off or move I just lay the insoles next to them. I move the insoles about 3 feet away, and then I get them tired. And sometimes I use two hands first when I'm doing it with their arms in front of them, hands about eye height so they can see my eyes when I pull down, that they now can see my eyes. and then I say, okay, I got you tired the first time, and then I just do like five or six times, so I say, now I really got you tired. So if you get strong, that's really something crazy. And they go, yeah. And so then I put the bracelet back on them, or when I move the insoles next to them. I don't even have them stand on. I just move next to them. And then I put them up there, and then boom, pull down really, really hard. And they're going, wow. And that's just kind of like a wow thing. I always try to make sure I at least, even if I don't do anything to make them feel better, if they're not hurting, I at least show them the before and after. And if we're outside, I'll have them stand on the grass. Because if you stand on the grass, you show them how the technologies give them energy from the earth. Mm. And when they're standing on the grass and you're doing muscle energy tests, they will be just as strong as our technologies. And then you have them go over on the concrete, because there's always concrete around somewhere. And when they're standing on the concrete, they're just going to be as weak because it saps the energy from them. And usually I'll do before with two hands and after with just one hand. And they can see, okay, it's just doing one hand. He's pulling my arms down. That's kind of weird. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it really isn't rocket science, and don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think we need to go to school to be a physical therapist to understand what you're doing. It really is simple. It's in how we do it and how we ask the questions, and I've done that for years. I love the way you're saying it, that you do it several times, and you even throw those words out there to try and get them to think that, as you say, now you're going to be really weak because we've done this four or five, maybe a half a dozen times, and then boom, they get near our technologies, and I like the way you said it, not even on the mag steps, but just near them, and they'll be able to drive that energy right up through their body. Again, going back to what you said, and I want to reiterate this, so important, asking those questions. Are you a smoker? Do you drink a lot of caffeine, or you consume a lot of caffeine? Or the other opposite is, do you consume a lot of water? Do you stay hydrated?
Yeah.
Because I've done exactly what you're saying with people, and it just doesn't work. And there's a disconnect. And if the body's not, you know, properly maintained, it's not going to get the effectiveness out of these products. So, Vince, again, thank you so much. I got to let you go because I promised I would. And
God bless you.
Have a delightful weekend, and we look forward to talking again with you real soon.
I will not talk anymore, but I'm going to keep listening. Go ahead.